Hey guys, guess what? It's been another week, so you know what that means. Another story with me, because you're already addicted and you love me so much that you just can't wait until every Thursday or Friday or whenever that a new story will come out. And I hope you had a great week. So last time we talked about creation, according to the Christians. We went through that whole story. It wasn't as long as I was expecting. So today I'm kind of combining two stories, and hopefully it's a little bit longer because some of the feedback I got was that they were little short episodes. So I want to appeal to the commuter, like myself, who has a nice 45-minute to hour drive to work every day, to have something to listen to without having to fumble and switch it and all that jazz. So this week we are going to be continuing the story of Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and all of that. I hope you really enjoy it, because I was having the best time writing all this out and planning it. So I hope you enjoy it, and always, always, always give me feedback if you'd like. We have a steady growth of listenership, so that's awesome. But without further ado, let's get on with the story. All right, so once the garden was complete, having given Adam complete dominion over all the living things, our main character, God, remember him, gathered all of his creatures to Adam so that he may name them. God said, whatever you want to call them will be the name that they have. I mean, that sounds like a ton of work. Are you aware of all the creatures that there are in the world? And what about the things that weren't discovered until much later? Did they all line up? Did he go after them? What about the bugs and the fish? What about the microscopic organisms? But I feel like I'm breaking one of those cardinal rules of religion by asking too many questions. So I guess we can just focus on the story. The bottom line is, Adam named everything. We can argue the merits of this on another episode, or two, or five, or however many it would take to explain all that. So God gave a tour of Eden, showing them the many rivers, meadows, forests, etc. With every stop on the tour being met with oohs and ahs from the pair. At the end of the tour, Adam notices a tree that was larger and much more beautiful than the others, bursting with fruit. What's that? Adam asked. Oh yes, now I need you both to listen to me very carefully, God replied. This is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You may eat of any tree in this entire utopian garden paradise perfection place. Any tree except for this one. Do you understand my instructions? Adam and Eve both nod in acknowledgement. So basically, he created this humongous, beautiful garden full of everything you could imagine. But in the center of the garden was this bigger tree that was larger than anything else, with the most attractive fruits. And he says, you can eat of every tree except for this one. That seems simple enough, but let's see what happens. Good, God said. Now enjoy the garden. So that conversation was done. I think this is a good time to bring up the fact that, yes, they were both totally and completely naked and were not ashamed. I found this pretty entertaining because of how it is placed in the scripture. It seems like some random thought that they added after proofreading the chapter, like, oh, we should say they were naked. I feel like that's an important fact, but I digress. So one beautiful sunny day in the garden, a snake, which apparently was smarter than the other creatures, crawled right up to Eve, who was admiring the warm sun in the meadow. Is it true, my dear? The snake asked. Did God really tell you that you can eat of all the trees in the garden as you wish? He did, Eve replied. except that one right there in the center of the garden. We are not allowed to eat anything from that tree. And why is this? The snake inquired. Well, God told us that if we eat any fruit from that tree, or even touch it for any reason, we will die, Eve said. The snake mulled over her response, plotting his next move. You know the real reason he doesn't want you eating from that tree? He asked sideways. It's because when you do, you become powerful, like a god, having knowledge of good and evil. Surely you won't be killed for it. God has a way of being so dramatic. Eve thought this over for a few seconds. I guess you're right. It does make sense. And the fruit on this tree does look amazing, she says, taking one for herself and one for Adam. I'm going to go show this to Adam. You do that, honey, the snake remarked with a grin. Eve ran across the wide meadow to find Adam, lounging underneath one of the other trees. Adam, here, try this, she exclaimed. Aren't they beautiful? Oh, wow, yeah, they are, Adam said, taking a bite. Where did you find these? Oh, they came from that tree over there by that snake, Eve responded, with her mouth full of the juicy fruit. Adam's heart sank as the wind began to blow and the clouds darkened the sky. Suddenly, both Adam and Eve realized they were naked. They quickly fashioned coverings for their bodies from some bushes nearby. Just as they had finished, they heard God from elsewhere in the garden. Adam? Adam, where are you? The voice echoed throughout the garden. Why are you hiding from me? Adam nervously replied, I heard your voice bellowing and I was afraid, so I hid in the bushes because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Asked God. Did you eat from the tree that I specifically asked you not to touch? Well, that woman you gave me, Adam began, pointing towards Eve, she took from the tree and gave it to me to eat. Eve piped in. Excuse me. I only took from the tree because that snake over there said that it was okay. He tricked me and my stupid woman brain that isn't as good as a man. God turned to the snake with a fierce look. You, his voice thundered. You are forever cursed to live your life on your stomach in the dirt for all eternity. With a pop, the snake's arms and legs disappeared and he fell to the earth and slithered out of sight in fear. God then turns to Eve, and I think this is a good point to point out that, I guess, in the creation story, snakes had legs, and then part of the curse of the snake was that he took their legs away, or whatever, but that's a whole other thing. Anyway, God then turns to Eve. Woman, since you listened to that snake, and it is your fault that Adam ate from this tree, you will now have immense pain while giving birth to your children. I'm not really sure how the idea was originally supposed to go, but I guess we'll never know since Eve ruined everything by being an idiot in terms of reproduction. But he continues. Your husband will be your master, he commanded. Which I'm sure all of you feminists out there would just cringe at the word choice, but I'm just quoting from the source material. So, calm down. And you, Adam, God turned to him. Since you listened to your woman and took from the tree, you have caused the earth to become cursed. Thorned and poisonous plants will now grow, and you will grow and harvest your own food for all of your days until you die. I mean, really, it's a little dramatic for my taste, but I'm just, you know, I'm just getting started. It sounds like death is one of those curses that Adam caused by listening to Eve. I really feel for Eve at this point in the story because she was naive, as I'm sure I or anyone else would be in this situation. I find it odd that God seemed surprised by this betrayal, as prior to the eating of the fruit, Adam and Eve did not have the knowledge of good and evil. So as a result, I don't think it was very surprising that she trusted the snake. I suppose it's hard to really understand, especially for people blinded by ignorance and gullibility, which, you know, I feel for a lot of people who get swept up in religion, that's a thing, but, you know, whatever. We have that knowledge of good and evil, so it's really easy for us to cast judgment on Eve, but once again, I have gone off topic, so I'm really going to try to keep staying with the story, but I always have these random thoughts in between things. But anyway... So, God gifted the pair with fur clothing and banished them from the garden forever. And to ensure they wouldn't find themselves in Eden ever again, God assigned angels with flaming swords to guard the entrance to the garden. As far as I know, Eden really isn't mentioned again in great detail, which makes me wonder what actually happened to it. I mean, did those angels stand there forever and ever, or did God leave it there and it got taken over? Like, when you go on those YouTube videos where they explore abandoned places, is that what it kind of turned into? I don't know. There's nothing in the text to describe that. But anyway. So off they go into the world, and it appears that some time had passed between the banishment and where our story now continues. By this time, Eve has given birth to two sons. First came Cain, and then came Abel. And there isn't much here in terms of what life was like for them, because the Bible jumps ahead to say that Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a farmer. I think it's safe to say that their early life was so uneventful that it wasn't even considered for inclusion in the story at all. But anyway. So Abel gave an offering to God, which basically means that he killed one or more of his sheep to give praise to God as a sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. God was like, "Oh, how wonderful your sacrifice is, my child. Well done. I accept this offering with the utmost honor and love." Blah, 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 blah. You know. Next was Cain. His offering consisted of the harvest of his crops. Now, according to the scripture, as excited as God was about Abel's offering, it seemed he was the exact opposite for Abel's. Cain. Quote, "And Cain, your offering is plants." Cain was devastated that his brother had received a more positive reaction from God. I really kind of agree with him because it was stated that Cain was the farmer and Abel was the shepherd. They both gave the best of their work to God, and even though I'm not condoning how Cain dealt with this, how can you not think that it was a little bit of a jerk move for God to react in that way? So at this point, Cain is visibly unhappy, and God says, "Why are you angry? Why do you have that face?" Cain didn't answer, but God knew he was stewing. "Whichever way you decide to act," God said, "do not let evil be your master." It's almost like he was saying, "I know what you're going to do, but don't do it. Don't do what I think that you are going to do." The whole thing feels like he is baiting Cain to make the wrong choice. So then, Cain invited Abel for a walk through the fields with him. When they were far into the fields alone, Cain surprised his brother and stabbed him to death. Ooh, murder. This was the first instance of murder in the creation. This was the first instance of murder ever in the entire creation of world. Sometime later, God shows up and is like, "Hey, where is your brother?" Cain replied, "I don't know. I'm not his keeper." "What have you done?" "I don't know if it's a gut feeling or the presence of all this blood, but I can't help but think that your brother is dead and that you are responsible," God said. As punishment for murdering his brother, God banished Cain from his sight, saying that he would never have a successful harvest ever again, and that he was cursed to be a wanderer of the earth for the rest of his days. He also placed a mark on Cain that would prevent him from being harmed by others. The Curse of Cain states that whatever harm anyone inflicts on Cain would come back to them sevenfold. So it's almost as if God is partially apologetic because it is obvious that he's being punished for the murder, but he's being protected by a curse of that magnitude. So I'm very confused by this. But again, there isn't much in the text that really explains this, and I know if I go researching that I'll fall into some crazy rabbit hole of conspiracy and be here all day. So to sum it all up, God liked Abel's offering better than Cain's. It's not really expressed or discussed why that is. It's just how it is. So Cain murdered his brother in a jealous rage. God punished Cain and places a curse on him for anyone who wants to harm him. So, I mean, it goes on to talk about how Cain left the area and settled in some other far-off land, had a wife or two, and had some children. It goes through all of his lineage, and that got really crazy and boring, so I didn't feel like it was important for the story. But, I mean, there's the story of the Garden of Eden and the downfall of man and the first births, which were Cain and Abel, and the first murder, which was Cain killing his brother. I mean, there really isn't a lot of detail in some of these parts of the story, so I kind of just presented it as I felt that it would be presented. But I hope you guys enjoyed the story today. I think next week we're going to get into the story of Noah. I think that's what comes next, is the story of Noah and that whole thing. And there's a movie about it or whatever, but I'm going to go through it step by step and tell the story again. But thank you guys for the input and for the shares and for liking the episodes and everything. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to really try to make things as entertaining as I can as I come across different material to work with. I hope to hear from you guys this week as I'm working on the next episode, and I will see you next week as we start the story of Noah, and I hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening.